Hi everyone, welcome back to Talk of Fox.
Hey.
Sean here too.
It is me here too.
And Griff here me. Great way to start.
Great way to start.
How you doing, Sean?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Oh my god, it's been such a busy week.
It has been a busy week, the first week of the campaign.
Cool, yeah. It's been a doozy.
Ain't it just?
Oh, there's been so much going on. Rishi has dried himself off.
He found himself a towel, didn't he?
Yep, and what did Kia do? I can't remember what Kia did last week. He was cupping babies' heads.
Cupping heads, yeah.
That was weird.
I've not seen any more cupped heads recently.
No, I think he learned from his... steered clear of babies.
Yeah, he learned from his mistakes, fortunately.
Ah, well, hello everyone. Welcome back to Talking Pollocks.
Welcome back.
If you're new, I'm Griff.
And I'm Sean.
You are Sean. Sorry, Sean. I didn't know you. Try that again. Let's do that again, right? I'm Griff.
And I'm Sean.
There you go. It's like Jedward, but better.
What? How are we anything like Jedward?
Well, that's what they used to say, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of X Factor or...
Mum was. I'll have to ask my mum. I know she's listening. Hi, Mum.
Or Jedward, so...
Well, it's good to be back. We've had a fantastic week of campaigning. So we've decided to make it a little bit easier to follow this week. We're going to split it up into little segments.
Yeah, because there's been so much going on. There was only one sensible way to organise it, really, wasn't there?
Yes. I said we should organise it by Member of Parliament hotness, but Sean said that wasn't a good idea and we should do it by party.
Yeah, and that scale would just be... It'd be too difficult to agree on.
No, yeah, I mean, too many cooks spoil the broth. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ah, well, here we go then. So, naturally, let's start with the incumbent government.
Oh, the good old Tories.
The Blues. In the blue corner.
In the blue corner, weighing in at 74 kilograms.
Does he really weigh that little?
I have no idea. Not a fucking clue. He's tiny, though. He's like...
He's not very tall, is he?
Like
I was surprised when I saw Kia in London a few weeks back.
He's also quite short.
He's also quite short, yeah. I was surprised. He looks a lot taller on the telly.
I think that's like a prerequisite of being a Member of Parliament. You have to be quite short.
What, in the door frames, like, no.
Well,
anyone
got to
over 5 foot houses, 6 has got a duck.
The Houses of Parliament were built, you know, hundreds of years ago.
So what you're saying is people have naturally got taller over time.
Yeah, well, it's evolution, like giraffes.
Like giraffes? Oh,
yeah,
I see what you mean.
Giraffes
with the tall
evolved,
neck.
Their necks got longer so they could reach the taller foliage on the trees.
Okay, I'm not sure how we got from Rishi to giraffes.
No, well.
But here we are.
Got as much sense as each other.
I guess the biggest story out of the Blues this week is Dad's Army, baby.
Yeah, we're getting a teenage dad's army, though.
A teenage dad's army, that's right. National service is back.
National service is back. And it's been a bit hit and miss, this policy for him. It seems to have gone down well in some corners, not so well in others.
Other areas, it's gone down a bit like the Hindenburg.
Yeah, they're saying, as you did, it's going to be like a dad's army. It's just not going to be taken seriously, etc., etc. And I thought... Okay, I get that. I do get that. On the other hand, there are other countries that have a national service framework. And that works really well for those countries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the idea isn't awful.
Yeah.
But...
We had it, didn't we?
Well, the...
Or some
years,
form of it.
Years and years ago, national service was a thing. But it was abolished many years ago.
Yeah.
And they did tease it a couple of elections ago. I think it was the 2017 election.
I love that. They teased it.
They did. They mentioned about national service. Or was it David Cameron that
I think it
mentioned
was Cameron.
It?
I think it was Cameron, yeah.
But it never really came to fruition. It turned out to be more of like a volunteering service, which then just sort of fizzled out and you didn't hear anything about it. Whereas this is actually going to be mandatory.
So this is going to be law?
This is going to be law. However, when questioned on it, the Conservative ministers were unsure how this would be enforced. They were asked if people would be sent to prison if they didn't do it.
Right.
And they said no.
So would it be like a monetary fine?
So I'm assuming it would be some sort of fine or, you know, community service. But if you haven't been able to get them to do the national service that they've had to do, then good luck getting them to do community service. You know, let's be honest there, right?
You didn't do this thing we told you to do, so we're going to get you to do pretty much exactly the same thing. Yeah. But this time, we really mean it.
Yeah, this time, you're not going to get paid, because that's the thing about national service. They have said that if you do the military service, the 12 months military service,
yeah,
you will get paid for that.
I mean, that's pretty good. I know the army pays quite well.
So I don't. You probably won't get like a full army wage. You'll get a national service.
You'll probably get an apprentice's wage.
Well, you'll probably get more than that because you'll be 18, so they have to at least pay you
the minimum wage, won't it?
But yeah, I think, personally, I don't think it's an awful idea.
No.
It could certainly... It could go some way to rebuilding our armed forces in a way.
I mean, judging by the state of the world and the geopolitical difficulties of certain areas of the planet... We do need to start thinking about defence as more than just a home front.
Yeah.
At some point, we will probably need to put boots on the ground in a foreign nation in the near future.
I'd like to hope not.
I'd like to hope not as well, but the reality is that things are heading that way.
The potential is there. But even thinking about it from the perspective of the younger generation, of the people that this is going to affect, you know... If they're going to get a lot of transferable skills, you know, the military teaches you quite a lot of different, not just sort of physical skills like and trades, but it also teaches you sort of social skills and stuff like that. So it benefits the younger people in more ways than one, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they've, like... You know how Apple recently did an advert where they crushed a load of music equipment and that went down like a lead balloon? I kind of feel like this is what the Tories have done with this. Like, they've announced this quite good thing, you know, that, you know, these skills that they're, you know, that we're trying heaven on earth. We're moving heaven and earth to try and get people into skilled jobs. There's such a shortage of electricians and plumbers and gas engineers. And you know, I work in the trade, so I see it every day. People wait weeks and weeks for a decent tradesman to come and do the work. So there is a genuine shortage of skills. I've witnessed it. But the problem is that nobody wants to do it. Nobody's interested in it. All of the old guard, with what we call them, are retiring, but they haven't trained any of the younger generation. So there is a massive skills gap that we are trying to plug. This could help with that.
It certainly could. Because,
I feel like it's been... advertised, it's been released in the wrong way, it's been spoken about in the wrong way.
Definitely, it was launched in a rush. It was very much we're a bit panicky.
Yeah,
let's just get this out there. It's a good policy, let's just get it out there. We're not ready to get it out there, but let's do it anyway.
Do you think they were prepping for a November election?
They were, of course they were.
Rishi has said, right, let's just do it.
But I think it wasn't just Rishi's decision. There were lots of other factors. You know, I think the cabinet as well also believed that it was worth the risk, worth the gamble.
I think the longer they'd have waited, the harder it would have been to come back from, right? I think now was probably about the right time. Even though we didn't expect it, and we've been watching this like a hawk, I certainly think it's the right time for the Tories.
And, you know, we know that the Tories can pull a campaign out of the hat. You look at Boris Johnson and, you know, he called it... And Theresa May, they called their elections... They were snap elections. They weren't something that they were specifically planning
for. Theresa May lost the Conservative majority, didn't she? She had to be propped up by the DUP afterwards. So I don't think necessarily that was a great call from May.
Not necessarily, but she still... I'm saying they still managed to get a campaign out there.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And while certain things from Theresa May in 2017, you know, the massive U-turn on social care and getting older people to pay for their own social care and stuff like that, the controversies that came out of it, that tarred the campaign.
Yeah.
But the campaign in general, you know, they got it out quite swiftly. I mean, they got their massive message out there.
They're proven campaigners, aren't they? And they only... They can win an election, as we know.
Yeah, and we say they were propped up. They only needed, what was it, 11 seats?
11 or 14, something springs to mind. I
believe
have to double
it
check.
Was one of those two. But yeah, so it wasn't a huge loss.
No.
Whereas we knew that this is going to be a huge loss for the Tories. Or it's looking likely, given the polls, you know.
We've still got 4 weeks. We've still got a long way to go.
We have. And in the first
Or five weeks. My apologies.
Yeah, so last week the polls were sort of a 21-point lead in Labour's favour.
Yeah.
This week, YouGov and Sky News did a poll today, or released a poll today, that showed the gap has widened to 27 points in Labour's favour.
Wow.
So far, in week one,
so
it's not
everything
really
that Rishi has done is one step forward, eight steps back.
It seems that way, yeah.
Okay.
It's not perfect for him, unfortunately.
Well, speaking of the old guard, that moves us nicely on to Pensions Plus.
Pensions Plus, yeah.
Yeah, so the Pensions Triple Lock Plus is like the next level of deal.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you're a pensioner, it's just
Sean is shaking his head from across the desk.
Again, it's a policy that's been rushed, okay. Not thought through. So what they're saying they're going to do is when the pension is increased by the triple lock, you know, which is it's inflation 2.5% or
something
else.
I can't remember.
One of those three figures is what the pension rises by each year. Fair enough, that's great. The triple lock needs to stay. What the pension...
Was it Cameron that brought that in, the triple lock?
Yeah,
If I remember.
But what the pension plus... What the pension triple lock plus does is that also moves the tax brackets for the pensions. So... Essentially, it's increasing. It's it increases where they pay income tax. So that way, you don't pay income tax
on
the basic
income tax
state
threshold,
pension.
Isn't it? You're earning however, 12,500 and something, right?
Yeah. However, the controversy here.
Ooh, controversy.
I know. Is that working people like me, like you,
the working class?
Are. Tax brackets are frozen until 2028.
Yes, that's right.
So ours won't increase in line with inflation or the rise in anything like that.
They're frozen. Thanks, Jeremy Hunt. Well, they might be unfrozen.
Well, potentially, depends on who gets in. But as it stands, they're frozen. So there's this generational disparity that, you know, they're throwing all these policies out there that really are aimed at pleasing the older generation. And it seems at the moment that the younger generation is falling off their radar a little bit.
Yeah. So, Rishi has promised...
To increase the tax thresholds for pensioners.
Yes.
To ensure that if you're on the basic state... Well, you don't pay tax on your basic state pension.
So that says to me, as a... I'm not going to say analyst. There you go, I've got it now. I'm not going to say that I'm an analyst.
Okay.
But that says to me that the Tories seem to be going for like their core vote. Like
very
they are
much
going
so.
After the home ground. Like, I think they know that they're going to lose the election. So I think they're just trying to cement themselves around that they know. You know, they've had, a Tory MP has said that she's standing down and then has thrown her support behind the reform candidate. I can't remember. I haven't got the note in front of me of where it was.
No, I can't remember. But
it seems like the Tories have already lost the right wing that they had from the Brexit vote.
It's a tough one for them. It's definitely a defensive campaign.
Yeah.
They're not going to those marginal seats. They're mainly, while in the first week Rishi has been to all four nations, he has been up and down the country, they are focusing their efforts on the Tory heartland.
Yeah. It makes sense to do that, right? There's no sense in trying to fight in like, you know, the Red Wall or, you know, where quite frankly, the polls are just saying that they're going to be, you know, in places...
They're going to be absolutely trailed.
In places, Reform are polling higher than the Tory candidate, which we saw in the local elections as well.
Yeah, there's... The thing with Reform is there, and the question that a lot of people are going to be asking over the next 5 weeks is, will Reform be able to get a seat, though?
I think they will. I think that I reckon I'm going to make a Chris's bold prediction. I reckon Reform at the 2024 general election are going to get 10 seats.
That's quite bold.
It's a bold prediction, but I think there are, you know, in certain areas from the data that I've seen, I reckon Reform will walk away with 10 MPs.
That is a bold prediction. I'm of the camp where I'm a bit unsure whether it's gonna go, whether they're gonna get enough votes.
Yeah.
In any one seat, like, while
it's all well and good saying they've got the support, but are the people going to actually go to the ballot box?
Yeah. While nationally they have, they are polling higher than, say, the Lib Dems.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't narrow it down to each individual seat, which
no.
requires Reform to be higher than everyone.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to say.
Yeah.
And it's definitely ramped up to be an interesting election.
It's mad. Speaking of mad, the boys have been out and about. Rishi's been out campaigning. He was playing some bowls. Did you see this, Sean?
I did. This is when he actually announced the triple lot.
Yeah, this is when he went to a bowls club somewhere.
Yeah, bowls club, and he won. He won the game.
Well, he was sort of... that's because his MP for the area... Didn't the candidate for the area bowl out the president of the club?
So essentially...
So it's a two-pincer movement from the Tory party to win the bowls match.
Yeah, and that's how they're approaching the election.
A two-pincer attack.
A two-pronged attack.
Yes. I have noticed that the Scottish Tories are very much distancing themselves from English Tories, I guess?
The Tories of England.
The Tories of England. Well, I don't know. I don't know how you would say that. But one thing I have noticed. I don't know if you've noticed this. You've definitely noticed this, Sean. You must have. Rishi's out. Where the hell is everyone else?
Yeah.
Where's the cabinet?
I completely agree. I've seen the odd picture here and there, mainly on X, formerly known as Twitter, of Jeremy Hunt being out campaigning. He was out campaigning in the rain and wore a Mac.
Oh, right, okay.
On Twitter, tweeted it, and in the comment put some shout out to Rishi because he was soaking wet or something.
Brilliant.
Which I thought was quite hilarious that even Jeremy Hunt was jumping on that bandwagon. But other than that, they've not really been seen.
No, I'm really surprised. They should be presenting a united front right now, but do you think the cabinet just can't get behind Rishi, or
I think the problem is, and you know, you've said it in what they need to be doing. They need to show a united front. And
yeah.
I think the Tory parties recently have, or the Tory party recently has shown that they're not united.
No.
And that is their biggest problem right now, is that they're not united, and it is being run very much like a presidential race.
And this goes back to the local elections as well. Look at the mayoral candidates that distance themselves from the Westminster Tories.
Yeah,
you know?
You had Ben Houchen, Andy Street. They distanced themselves. There was even talk at the time, potentially, though, of Andy Street running as an MP if he didn't win the mayor.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But he
said no, right?
But I think this week it seems that, yeah, that's all gone pear-shaped for Rishi, and it's not going the way he'd hoped.
He said it's not the right time.
Yeah, so a bit of a blow for him, which is a shame. Andy Street could have been quite good for him, especially in sort of the West.
Yeah, one final note for Rishi before moving on. He was offered a job, though. He was visiting a telecoms.
Oh, the poor bloke.
He was visiting a telecoms company today, One of the people there asked if he would like a job in telecoms.
At least he knows that once he's out of 10 Downing Street, then he's going to have some options available.
Yeah, he's got something to fall back on.
You know, he's got some options.
You know, you work in that industry, it's a good industry.
It is, it's an all right industry. It's a busy industry, I'll tell you that at the moment. It's a very busy industry.
Depends which one you work for.
I'm hoping the next government does something about calming Ofcom down and their focus on...
Needs to be done about a certain... It rhymes with Open Beach. Really needs to be done about them. Oh, yeah. That's unbiased, right? That's totally unbiased. Right then. Moving on.
Swiftly moving on.
In the red corner.
Weighing in at 125 kilos.
Wow.
Well, you questioned how light I made Rishi.
So you made Kia, like... nearly twice as much.
50 kilos more.
Wow.
Can't bloody win.
If you're listening, Kia, I am sorry.
Sorry, Kia. I don't know your weight. If you could let me know, I'll do it right next time.
To be fair, I did say that he'd shit himself last week, so... So the first part, I know you've got a lot of information on this. It's Kia's big personal address. It's his first one of the campaign, right?
First one of the campaign. And It was the address where he tried to make himself appear human. They all do it, all politicians, they all do this speech, try and make themselves seem normal.
Speaking of being human, I did notice that there was an interview with Rishi at the Bowls Club, and he'd had a singular hair sticking up from his crown, and I remember you saying to me, we were watching it together at the time, you said, that's his antenna.
That's how he receives his signal.
That's how he receives his signal. Someone changed his batteries.
Yeah, so someone changed Rishi's batteries recently. Maybe that's why he was out Sunday morning, why he wasn't seen Sunday morning.
He was on charge.
He was on charge. Got to go to that mansion for some reason.
So, how did Keir do in his first big speech?
Yeah, he was very much going on about how he is from a working class background. How
himself was a person of the people.
Person of the people.
A people of the persons.
Yeah, and basically, he was really pushing NHS. His mother worked and still works, from what I understand, in the NHS.
The pledge, I understand, is to get the waiting times down by within 5 years, right?
Yeah, so by the end of the first term, they want to not just get them down, but completely eradicate the waiting times.
It's quite a long time, that, Rishi, for someone waiting to have a toenail removed or something. Kia, sorry.
However... The bones, or the bare bones behind that pledge, are quite limited at the moment in terms of what they're going to do. So what they are going to do is what their big headline pledge underneath this waiting times one is 40,000 new appointments every single week.
Where the hell are they coming from?
Well, he was asked this today while he was out with West greeting the Shadow Health Secretary.
And Arkea said...
And he said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to use operating theatres and diagnostics rooms and et cetera, et cetera. All these machines and stuff that aren't used at night or at the weekends. We're going to use them at night and at the weekends.
Okay.
However, he did quite rightly point out... that this is going to cost because it will require overtime for doctors and nurses to obviously operate the machines and all the operations, etc., and attend these appointments.
Yeah.
So he did say it doesn't come cheaply or free, and they're going to fund this the same way that they've seemed to fund every single other policy, and they're going to close the non-dom loophole.
I love the fact that they think that they could just close that loophole and suddenly they've got all this money. People can take their time to pay that tax, okay?
But not just that. The amounts of money that these policies are going to cost. Great British Energy, for example. They want to get a publicly owned energy company that does green energy. We make it ourselves, we own it, the government. They also want to do this national investment fund or this sovereign wealth fund.
Yeah, there's talks of nationalising the railways as well.
There's talks of nationalising the railways.
And we haven't had any manifestos yet.
No, we'll get those within the next, by the end of next week probably.
Yeah, we're going to do a in between episode 2 and episode 3, we're going to do a manifesto special, aren't we, Sean?
It's probably going to be in episode 3, 4.
Oh, yeah? Do you think they're going to be that late getting
out? It'll be the end of next week, I reckon. Okay. The end of next week is when the parliamentary candidates have to have been selected by.
That's right.
So
we'll have a manifesto special. We'll go through the manifestos and just pick out our favourite bits, because there's going to be some doozies, let me tell you.
Yeah.
There usually is. And we'll see if we can... we'll give an award to the least spelling errors and grammatical errors.
I think that they're all going to have gone through them with a fine tooth comb, but we'll...
Because it's the big one,
we'll
right?
It's an important one.
Yeah. All right, then.
And it's that important that, you know, the cabinet haven't really been seen, but Keir, he's really been out there with his entire top team.
Yeah, he's got his Avengers going, right?
He has. You've got Angela Rayner out there. You've got Rachel Reeves.
Bam.
You've got himself.
Bam.
You've got Wes Streeting today out
Bam.
There. He's the Shadow Health Secretary. You know,
he's got the crew.
He's got everyone behind him, it seems. So really pushing on that front.
So, yeah, the Labour United, the Tories seem to be a bit disjointed.
It does, yeah. It's something needs to change for Rishi in the next 5 weeks.
The party needs to get behind him. Or they need, you know, to maybe bring back Boris.
Bring back Boris. No, definitely not. Oh, speaking of Boris, though.
Oh, right,
okay. This is going off on a bit of a tangent. But you remember, obviously, the infamous Dominic Cummings?
Oh, yes. This is the guy that said that he needed to check his eyesight, so he drove to Barnard Castle, right?
Yeah. That absolute pillock.
He was the... Yeah, he was the guy that He sat in down in the Downing Street garden, didn't he?
In the press conference. In the back gardens of Downing Street.
And said how really sorry, not sorry he was.
Yeah, basically.
By saying that he'd done this and he was sorry for doing it, but he's not sorry for doing it because he needed to check his eyesight. I mean, what sort of a... I'm going to swear, fucking idiot must you be?
He's just backwards, you know, that sort of thinking. It just makes you wonder... How on God's green earth he won that election for Boris Johnson
in the
first place.
Anyway.
But he is, or he is intending to launch his own political party. He said in an interview this week.
Oh, Boris.
No.
Dominic Cummings. Right, okay.
He's going to launch...
What's he going to call it?
I don't know. Specsavers?
No, that's a trademark name. You can't have
yeah,
that.
Okay. Vision yeah. Express.
Again, that's a trademark name there, Sean. You're just plucking, glasses. Oh, you know, Asda glasses.
Asda's opticians.
What? Yeah. Dominic Cummings' party is going to be called Asda's Opticians, Sean.
Fucking wouldn't surprise me with that bloke.
At least he could have his eyesight checked fairly swiftly. He wouldn't need to drive to Barnard Castle.
Well, no, because that's going to be the policy of it. We're going to scrap eye tests and everyone has to drive to Barnard Castle to test their eyes.
I mean, everyone would save a lot of money, but the increased fuel costs
and the death rate on the roads.
Yeah, but for people not being able to see anymore.
Yeah.
I think this needs some more thought, Dominic. I'm going to be honest. I don't think you've thought this through. Just like you didn't think that lot through back in COVID. You're moron.
Quick disclosure: he hasn't announced any policies yet.
Oh yeah, I didn't think he would have. The only thing he knows what he's doing is what he's having for his fucking tea.
Oh, I don't even think he knows.
Not that he
that.
Can see it.
No. Absolute moose. But
moron.
Yeah, just thought I'd throw that in there. A bit of interesting news.
Fair enough.
This week.
Throwing back to Angela Rayner, though, guess who's not guilty but sort of might be but isn't having any action taken against her?
Yeah,
Angela Rayner.
Angela Rayner, over her tax affairs and living status and...
Basically, it was a case of she was registered at one address to vote. But she apparently wasn't living at this address.
Yeah.
It was alleged that she wasn't living at this address. That's now been cleared, apparently, and the police are taking no further action.
Yeah, so Greater Manchester Police said no further action. And today, in the last few hours, or on Wednesday, the 29th of May, HMRC has also cleared her of the capital gains tax evasion.
Oh, this was the sale of her her ex-council tax property because she bought it at a discount, didn't she?
The
buy-to-let scheme.
She bought it under the buy-to-let scheme. And then when she
The right-to-buy scheme.
The right-to-buy scheme. But when she sold it, I think she made it was around £48,000 in profit.
Nice.
Which normally, if that's not... So you can sell your primary residence for a profit.
Tough word to say that, isn't it? Residence.
For a profit, and you don't pay capital gains tax.
Hooray!
On your primary residence.
Good for her.
So she sold this ex-council house.
Correct.
For a £48,000 profit. However, it was registered as her primary residence.
Right.
But... it was alleged that she was living in an alternative residence
with her husband.
With her husband and her children.
Yeah.
Which is not hard to believe. You know, it's quite normal for a family to live together, you know.
Well, apparently there was some journalists that spoke to some of the neighbours in the area, and they alleged that... that she'd never been seen there, basically.
Yeah. The police also spoke to said neighbours, apparently, according to their investigation. But they haven't, again, as you said,
no further action
to be taken by her, by any of the bodies that were investigating.
Well,
her.
She promised to step down if she was found guilty of anything, so it's either very conveniently timed or she's genuinely not guilty.
Yeah,
I guess we'll find out.
It was I remember the controversy where she tweeted about how the Prime Minister being under police investigation and how he should stand down from being the Prime Minister and an MP. And then when she became under police investigation, a lot of Tories especially, obviously, were pulling
on that, of course,
pulling that back up and saying, well, you're under police investigation now, are you going to stand down?
Now, moving swiftly on to another fantastic lady in the Labour Party, it's Rachel Reeves, Sean.
It is Rachel Reeves, the Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Yeah, now, I say fantastic because she's promised not to raise taxes, and to me as an undecided voter, that's great. But there's caveats
There's caveats. So she's promised that income tax, national insurance...
Which isn't a tax, in my opinion, but go on.
But it is a tax.
But it's not a tax.
By definition, it's a tax.
This is one of those arguments we were talking about last week, everyone.
And I can't remember what the third tax was that she ruled out.
I didn't write that one down for you.
No.
Sorry, I forgot to write that one down. There's another tax that she didn't... She ruled out?
But she hasn't ruled out other tax rises to pay for their policies. So,
such as?
The big one is VAT, the potential that VAT could go up.
I mean, that would be met with... I imagine that would be like handing someone a coffee mug full of radioactive waste and saying, there you go, have that. That
yeah, I can't, can't imagine it would go down overly well. You know, it's...
I would rather shit in my hands and clap
than
vote for them based
I
on a VAT
would,
rise. Because I honestly hate VAT. We get taxed on our income. We then have to pay tax on the things that we buy.
With the money that's already been taxed.
Jesus Christ.
That we were paid by the company that has already paid tax on that.
It's taxed we are taxed at every stage. We are the most heavily taxed population on the planet. Surely there is an easier way to do this.
Yeah, and the reason that, especially to the government, that VAT rises look appealing is because VAT is such a big income for the government. It's probably one of the largest income streams for the government.
So Labour naturally are going to need that to pay for a lot of their policies.
Well, potentially. They say that all their policies are fully funded already by closing this non-dom tax loop.
Yeah.
But as I said, and a lot of people are pointing out, it doesn't make sense how this one measure, this one tax loop getting closed is going to pay for everything. It just doesn't make sense.
I guess the manifesto where they says everything, they've said all the way along that everything is fully costed, and we'll see that in the manifesto. Now, I'm just going to throw it out there that Jeremy Corbyn almost always also said that everything in his manifesto was fully costed, but then Diane Abbott said she was going to pay
£10 a year.
And speaking of the bombastic duo, guess who's back, Sean? We got it wrong last week.
We did get it wrong. Jeremy Corbyn
is back, baby.
Running as an independent candidate.
For Islington North. He's been an MP since the 1980s in that state.
I know, right? Really, really long time.
I mean, the locals are going to know him, right? Better than, you know, the rest of the country. I mean, I know he was the leader of the Labour Party for some time, and a lot of people obviously have their own very strong opinions of Jeremy Corbyn. But I imagine that, you know, thinking more locally for a moment, as an MP, he's obviously done a lot of good in his area.
Yeah,
because he's been re-elected consistently. Now, whether that's because of the Labour backdrop, or whether that's because of him as an MP, we'll see at this election.
We'll definitely see that. The Labour Party backdrop for him would have played a part.
Yeah.
But
there
now...
There would have been campaign funding and stuff.
Yeah, but over the years, he's built up a reputation within the area, potentially. So it's going to be interesting to watch that seat specifically.
Yeah. Now, Labour have selected a candidate for that area, that seat, I believe, right?
I don't know. As I said, all of them will be confirmed by next Friday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw... The report that I read, I've just remembered it. There was a choice of three. One of them is currently sat in the London Assembly. There's a couple of others that were tipped to have the seat. But guess who also is saying that she's back by, and I quote, any means necessary...
Well, so this is Diane Abbott.
Correct, she's back.
Diane's
back.
A lot of controversy has arisen around Diane Abbott once again.
I am shocked.
So
shocked.
She was given the Labour whip back late last night, Sean.
She got the whip back.
She got the whip back. She is once again in the Labour Party.
For those of you who don't know what a whip is, Dawn, could you just quickly explain, in layman's terms, the whip?
So the whip is essentially the backing of a political party. That's the easiest way to put it. Essentially, the reason it's called a whip is because if you have the backing of that party, the whip tells you what to do.
Yeah.
How to vote, what to back. Sometimes there'll be votes where the whip isn't used, but most governmental votes, you know, the whip will tell you you have to vote this way.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called a whip.
That's the whip.
So she was given that back last night, so back in the Labour Party.
Welcome back.
And then she has told Sky News, and she has tweeted, and...
Is it still a tweet?
Well, I'm calling it that because I'm not calling it... I'm not saying she X'd.
Well, I call it AFCAT. Asshole formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah. But she has said that the Labour Party are blocking her from running as an MP.
So she's had the whip restored, but Labour aren't letting her run as an MP.
That is what she is saying at the moment. However, I will stipulate that when Keir Starmer was questioned on this, he said no decisions have been made yet. It's not a decision for the parliamentary party, and it will be made by the National Executive Committee.
You did say it was like a presidential election, this one.
It feels like it. It feels very much Starmer versus Sunak.
So, Corbyn's back. Diane's halfway there.
She might be back. We don't know yet.
And Keir Starmer's living on a prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right. Next up, then. I've wanted to say that. I've been waiting to say this all day. It's time for Ed Davey and the Yellow Hammer.
The Yellow Hammer, yes. This is their campaign bus.
Or did he call it a battle bus?
It's the battle bus.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to call it.
If you're watching the news at the moment, all you see is journalists on buses at the moment.
It's constant, isn't it? They're all on coaches.
You can tell when there's an election in the UK because all the journalists get on buses.
Although, what was quite funny today, so I was watching one of the news channels and they had... their journalist with Labour on a coach. They had their journalist with the Tories on a coach, Lib Dems on a coach. The SNP?
Yeah.
Oh, he was in a taxi.
Oh, he had a taxi, so it's very limited.
Limited.
So was this news channel in the taxi with Swinney?
No, he was in the taxi on his own.
Oh, right, okay, fair enough. So he doesn't get a bus.
No, no buses for the SNP, but that's because Nicola Sturgeon's husband is parked on their drive.
Yeah, well, or either that or someone spent it on his iPad. But we'll come to that in a moment. Yeah, Matheson Madness is coming up later.
Yeah, but they've named their bus the Yellow Hammer because they want to take the hammer to the Blue Wall.
For fuck's sake.
So it's another one of these Lib Dem stunts. Like his big old clocks and stand.
I was expecting something
timers.
A bit better from Mr. Davey, I must admit. After his, you know, the big clock and the hourglass and all his happy cheering people with orange signs.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'm disappointed that he didn't do something big, you know?
He did. It's a big bus. The big bus.
It's a big bus it's called big the Yellow bus. Hammer. I have to say, if you're listening, Mr. Davey, I am disappointed in you.
You need to step up your game.
Step up your presentation game, because all you've done this week, as far as I can see, is pretend to fall in a river and wrap a bus in yellow vinyl wrap.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, wasn't it? He did this, he went to this event, he took part in all of these water sports.
Yeah.
And on the paddleboard, for the cameras, he, and I air quotes there, for the cameras...
Yeah, yeah.
He fell in the water. It was quite awful.
It was quite awful.
To witness. It? Quite awful. Quite staged.
Yeah.
And I don't really quite understand what the point of it was.
He was highlighting the pollution in British rivers, right?
By jumping in them.
By jumping in it. I mean, the idea was to remove shit from the river, not
yeah,
to
not add
shit
more.
Into it.
But okay.
Each to their own.
If that's how he wants to go. But my point last week about the Lib Dems was I don't feel that they're looked at seriously given these gimmicks and stunts that they pull.
Yeah, because he does these gimmicks and his stunts. And then if you watch the interviews afterwards, he is quite a down... It seems like a quite a down-to-earth bloke, Ed. So.
But the problem is, with these gimmicks and these stunts that he's pulling, it makes them look childish.
Yeah.
Like they're not taking... It's serious.
And this is probably the most important election that we've had. It's going to be a big change in policy. It's going to be a big change in... No, it could potentially be a big change in party running the country.
Yeah, well, it's likely
it's
to
the,
be.
You know,
definitely.
If there was ever an election that the Liberal Democrats should be taking seriously, I certainly think it should be this one.
Yeah, and, you know, as I said, with the view that they're not taking it seriously, they're polling behind reform.
Which is insane.
Which is, it's concerning.
How big was the right wing of the Tory party for reform to gain that much support?
Yeah, I know.
It really makes you wonder how big that shift was.
It was shocking.
The political shift that Brexit created.
But a survey result today showed that of the 2019 Conservative voters... Only 36%, so just over one in three of them, would vote Tory again tomorrow.
So they really did, you know, when Boris Johnson stood out the side of Downing Street and said, thank you for lending me your vote, he wasn't kidding.
He wasn't. They really did lend him a vote there.
Yeah.
And that is where Rishi is floundering the most.
Yeah. Interestingly, speaking about Rishi, Mr. Davey of the Liberal Democrats did rule out a coalition with the Tories, but didn't rule out one with Labour.
Yeah, yeah.
Interestingly,
that's been his rhetoric. Sort of,
it's kind
even
of like
before the election was called.
I feel like it's the rebound boyfriend. You know, they tried it with the Tories. Nick Clegg, you know, Clegg Mania, as we remember. Can you remember that TV debate with? I don't know if you'll remember,
the leaders debate.
It was David Cameron, Gordon Brown, and Nick Clegg.
Yeah.
And it was just an hour of Cameron and Brown agreeing with Nick Clegg.
Yeah, and all it did was make Nick Clegg look amazing.
Yeah, he's now, he works for Meta, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is the global president of communications, I believe.
What a title.
The social network.
If aliens ever came to our planet and they asked for like the global president, get Clegg.
Clegg would be the man.
Clegg would be the man. I reckon. If you're listening, Nick, how you doing?
How you doing, buddy? We miss you in British politics. Come back.
Yeah, stop.
No, don't
stop. Do it. Yeah, no, don't.
Stay at Meta. It's probably better for you.
It's probably better. The pay is much better.
Yeah, I can assure you.
But yeah, the last note on the Lib Dems, really, they've been to Scotland, they've been to Wales, they seem to be pushing in the devolved nations as well, much like Rishi did. He went to all four nations, so it, you know.
Yeah,
I think the Liberal Democrats, they've said that they're standing in 630...
The Liberal Democrats are standing in every seat.
In every seat.
It was Reform, that said 630, confirming.
Yeah. Cool. So that will move us swiftly on to the what I've aptly titled the Any Other Business section.
Yeah, the parties that aren't quite as important as those three.
Yes, starting with Matheson Madness. I said it was coming up earlier. This is my favourite story. We mentioned it last week. Mr. Matheson, he is an MSP in Scotland. He went on holiday to Morocco.
Yeah.
He took his parliamentary iPad with him, and he spent £11,000 in data charges watching football from it.
Yeah, well, his kids did.
Apparently his kids did. He was enjoying the football game.
Oh, of course he was.
With a pint.
Of course he was.
Now, he's been suspended.
Yes, and it was harsh. The harshest penalty that Holyrood could hand down.
Now, it is worth noting that the SNP party abstained from the vote.
Of course.
But they are now in the minority after the Green Party.
Yes.
After that whole shenanigan. That was before talking bollocks.
The only reason that they abstained is because they couldn't exactly vote against it.
No.
But they also didn't want to vote in favour of it and throw their own MSP under the bus.
Yeah, exactly. He's been suspended for, is it 24 days?
27 days.
27 days, and he's had his salary removed for 54 days.
Yeah, for 54 days he's had his salary.
I wonder how much that actually amounts to, whether that amounts to £11,000.
Literally.
Are you now going to pull back this shit?
Just work this out for you.
Yeah? It's going to be a long podcast today. Chaps and chapettes and everything else. Strap yourselves in. But while Sean is Googling that, are you Googling it? I'm guessing you're Googling it.
So, 54 days.
Oh, okay.
Very quick. So, yeah, 54 days of an MP salary. So, an MP receives a yearly salary of 91,000.
Well, we need to be searching for an MSP, no?
It's the same.
It's the same salary. Okay, cool.
So, £91,346. That's how much a member of parliament or member
an MP.
Of devolved nation is.
Wow.
So one day is £250.26.
Okay.
So 54 days is £13,514.20.
Excellent. So he's paying it back with interest,
with
ladies
interest,
and gentlemen.
Yes. He's paying, because the biggest problem was it wasn't that he had this bill, is it that he claimed he expensed it to the taxpayer.
Yes. Now, of course, all of this is going on while John Swinney is trying to launch a campaign for the SNP. So things aren't going brilliantly for him.
No.
Because it's been underpinned by this.
No, it's really not going well for Mr. Swinney. You've got to remember, he's only just got into post.
Yeah.
And then the general election was suddenly called.
We said this last week, didn't we? What a bombshell for him.
Yeah, so it's really, really not a good time for him. He could have done with a couple of months extra to settle in, sort out his party and that.
Absolutely. Now, done, the SNP. You've managed to just shoot yourself in the foot so many times this year.
Yeah, but
you might as well start digging your own grave now. I can't imagine they're going to go too well at the election there. Their obsession with independence.
Well, it's kind of the bedrock of their party. You know, the Scottish National Party. But they are, as of the polling today shows, that the SNP is now the second largest party in Scotland.
Who's the largest?
After Labour.
Wow. So there really is a red shift.
Followed by the Conservatives.
Wow.
So,
well,
it is a big shift there.
Talking about big shifts. And this one involves shifting to the right. I know I've put on my notes that Garage kicks off a campaign, but I meant Farage.
Farage.
Yes, yeah, so he was brilliant. He was ridiculously brilliant. Stood on a big pedestal, much like Rishi's. You'll all remember his pedestal, whatever it's called, lectern.
Lectern. Yes.
Lectern. Rishi's lectern says, "Stop the boats."
Stop the boats.
Farage's lectern says Rishi can't stop the boats.
Rishi Sunak can't stop the boats.
Now, I don't know if that's been fact-checked. I don't know. Maybe Rishi lacks the weight to stop a boat. I don't know.
Well, he only weighs 70 kilos, remember?
Exactly, yeah. So, Sean is now going to Google how much Rishi Sunak weighs.
I wasn't. No, don't worry. Don't you worry.
So, yeah, Farage very much going on a campaign of, you guessed it, reform. Really not happy with the Tories, basically telling people how bad they are and what they can't do. Not really saying a whole lot about what reform can do, though, I noticed. Seems to be a lot of what other people can't do and not a lot of what they can.
Yeah, that seems to be the running theme with Farage's politics, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if Binface is standing and whether he does better than the reform candidate.
Binface will be standing. I believe he announced on Twitter a couple of days ago.
For those of you who don't know, Count Binface is the leader of the Monster Raving Loony Party.
Sometimes.
It tends to change, doesn't it?
He ran as the London mayor under the party banner Count Binface for Mayor of London.
Yes.
Rather than as the Monster Raving Loony Party.
Brilliant. So will reform get beaten by a bucket? We'll find out in a few weeks' time.
We can certainly hope so, because that would be absolutely
hilarious. And one thing I did want to point out, where the hell are the Greens? They're quiet. We've hardly seen anything from them.
It has been incredibly quiet from the Green Party. They don't... But again, they're not... I guess they're not really... They're not hugely in the running.
But they did quite well in the locals, considering.
Yeah, I suppose they did, but that is where they're...
I would expect them to bounce off that success, you know.
But that's... Their priorities lie more in the locals. They sit more seats in the locals. Or yeah, they cover, they cover more of the country in the locals.
Do you think they have a better effect in local council and local government rather than changes in the House, can they? Because no one would vote for it because it would cost a lot of money.
Exactly. So I think locals is probably where they're with.
So we'll listen out. I'm sure we'll hear something from the Greens.
And they're likely to get one or two.
But, you know, looking through all the news channels and the websites that we go to and all of our sources and stuff, nothing is being mentioned, really.
No. And
you'd think you'd want to, right? Everyone's campaigning on change right now.
Given the state of the politics at the moment, you'd think now is the perfect opportunity for the Green Party and all of the smaller parties to really push their agendas. It's a shame that we're not seeing more about them. Maybe as the campaigns ramp up, you know, it was a bit sudden. Mm. The big parties, of course, would have been prepared, but maybe the smaller parties not quite so much.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe over the coming weeks, what
maybe they just weren't prepared.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe that they weren't, and we'll just see what they've got to offer over the coming weeks.
All right then. So on to some more light-hearted stories of the week.
Yeah.
We'll start off with my favourite story of this week. Ian Dale, who you might know off of LBC. He's covered like loads of elections. He's done a couple of American presidency elections. He's like, you know, one of my favourite presenters on LBC. One of the more knowledgeable ones, that's for sure. He's announced he's stepping back from LBC, which frankly was a massive shock. He's announced his candidacy to be an MP.
Yeah, for the Conservative Party.
Yes.
Of all parties.
Now, I never picked listening to his show on LBC and reading his columns, and you know, he's a fantastic journalist. I never expected him to stand for the Tories, I must admit.
No. His articles are very impartial.
Yeah, that just shows how impartial he can be.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of sort of high-profile figures announcing they're stepping back from their current roles to run as an MP. The current chief nurse of the Royal College of Nursing.
Okay.
She has announced that she's stepping down from the RCN.
Yes.
And she's going to run as a Sinn Féin candidate in Northern Ireland. She announced that today, which was a bit of a different story to hear. You don't hear much about the Northern Irish.
Just speaking on Sinn Féin for a moment, I understand that they get elected to Westminster, but they refuse to take their seats. Is that right?
Yeah, Sinn Féin refuse to take their seats because they're the Irish National Party.
And this goes back to a pact that was made in like the early 1900s, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It's all to do with the unrest between Ireland, Northern Ireland, and the UK. It's to do with the Good Friday Agreement.
There's a lot to unpack on that one. But I just find it interesting how Brits refuse to take their seats.
They refuse to take their seats in Westminster because they don't want the basis of the
they want Irish Sinn Féin, unification.
They want Irish unification. Yes. So they don't want a Westminster government. That's the point of Sinn Féin.
So instead of going to the place where they could actually try and effect some change, they stay away from it. That seems backwards to me.
They know that they're not going to effect change in Westminster.
But they could try.
Because there's not enough of them. There's so few of them.
I mean, I have the feeling that that swearing to the king would be an issue as
also causes some issues there.
Yeah.
Although they still have to, as MPs, all MPs.
Yeah, to be a sitting MP, you have to do it, yeah. You don't get a choice.
You don't get a choice.
He comes down and puts his big hands on your neck, forces you down. Lick my boots if you want to be an MP. No, Charles doesn't do that.
Quick disclaimer, the king does not do that.
No, he doesn't. He does. He complains about pens a lot, though.
He does, yeah. And a bit of news about the king.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
He will be...
Charles news!
Obviously, for the election.
Right.
The royal family stepped back as to not take focus away from the election or to sway it in any
direction. No, it's okay, don't worry. We'll stay out of the way for you while you sort this out.
It's common practice. The monarchy always steps down or steps backwards in the spotlight when there's an election. Though they don't sway it in any direction. Because obviously the monarchy has to be impartial to the government.
Right. Yeah. So he gives them permission. Anyway, that's a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, basically. But it has been announced that he will be attending Trooping the Colour.
Well, yeah, that's not really a politically motivated event, is it?
So the only reason for it is because it's not the government and it's not the palace that decide whether the king attends.
Oh, really?
It's the MOD.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
And the MOD and the King have agreed that he will attend and he will appear on Buckingham Palace balcony.
Okay. Let's all take note of what colour tie he's wearing.
The King will be wearing his military uniform.
Oh, will he be in full military dress, will he? Okay, fair enough.
He won't be riding on horseback, understandably. He's in his 70s and he's been receiving cancer treatment.
Yeah, for his prostate. So, yeah. You know, I understand if he doesn't want to do rising trot on the back of a horse.
Yeah, but Prince William is likely to take his place in the military procession.
Yeah, that makes sense. Future king.
Future king, yeah. Heir to the throne.
So some quickfire ones here that we've got as well. Keir says no to rejoining the EU. He was asked by a journalist if he had plans to rejoin the EU and he simply said no.
Yeah, which is in contrast to the Lib Dems who are looking potentially at rejoining the single market or the customs union.
We've already talked about Rishi being offered a job, which was quite funny. Bourne Gethin, who is the First Minister of... Is it the First Minister of Wales?
First Minister of Wales.
Already facing a no-confidence motion, and he's only been in post for 3 months, so he hasn't passed his probation, basically.
Yeah, so he was sworn in March.
Yep.
Last week. I believe it was.
Is this all to do with the fact that he lied to the Welsh COVID inquiry, or supposedly lied to the Welsh COVID inquiry about deleting text messages?
Last week, Plaid Cymru ended their cooperation agreement.
Yeah.
Because of the financing of Bourne Gethin's leadership campaign,
which was
the environmental
company accused or like they've been convicted of environmental.
Crimes,
right?
And they also said that his it's completely gone.
Have you lost it?
I've lost
it. Is it gone?
Yeah, it's gone.
Much like his first ministership is going to be going soon.
Basically, they don't believe that he is the right man to be doing the job,
even though they voted him in.
And since they ended that cooperation agreement, the Tories have now announced that they will be holding a no-confidence vote next Wednesday the 15th.
Is it really the right time to be doing this? Should they not be campaigning? I didn't think the Welsh government would be seeing.
Yeah, of course the Welsh government. Yeah. So we're having a national government So we're selecting members of parliament.
So this is a national election, not so
you've
Wales.
You've still got the Senedd in Wales, yep. Holyrood in Scotland.
I'm getting confused. But still, is it really the right time to be doing this? Surely they're going to be out helping their relative parties.
It won't be an election. It'll just be turned to a leadership event, happened in Scotland a couple of weeks ago with Hamza Youssef and John Swinney.
Nice.
So it's tough.
That's got to be some kind of a record for facing a no confidence motion, surely. That's not passing your probation, that, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You're not wrong there. But I do agree with you. Is it the right time? They've obviously took a leaf out of Scotland's book.
I mean, is it the right time during an election to maybe change?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It might be, but... It's a Labour, because Vaughan Geffing is Labour.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Labour government in Wales.
So it's going to cause a bit of a headache for Keir, that's for sure.
I certainly think there's going to be some negative connotations, but he's got a 27-point lead in the polls.
He can afford to take a little hit.
He can take that little hit at the moment. Well, wow. One final point I do just want to make during this election campaign.
All right, okay, here we go. It's Sean's final points, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and it's the... I've seen on social media, on X, on Facebook, a lot of false information.
Mm-hmm. This is naturally going to be a problem throughout the campaign.
Yeah, and you know, every single year we're seeing larger and larger digital elections, digital campaigns.
Yeah.
And the concern is that people will believe this false information, this false narrative. So you just need to make sure that you check in where information comes from.
Full Fact is a great resource.
It really is. I've got it right open right here.
Yeah.
And you know, they're impartial, and there are lots of fact checking services out there. Twitter has a community led
fact checking service.
Which has been getting better.
It has, yeah.
It became community-led, obviously.
It tends to be more on like game adverts and stuff like that at the moment.
But there have been a lot more political ones recently.
Yeah.
And with these fact-checking sites, they're independent, they're free from political affiliation. So whether it's something that the Tories have said or Labour have said, they will fact-check everything.
Absolutely.
And it's just important to have the right information.
But... equally, if you did have any questions, you can now email us.
You can. Woo!
Exactly, yeah. I paid some money and we have an email address now. So if you have a question or you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email talkingpollocks@criffshawn.co.uk. Is it .co.uk?
.com.
You can email us at talkingpollocks@criffshawn.com.
.com.
There you go.
And we'll put that in the description as well.
So you can email. That's all gravy. And then that's it. We've got through everything on our
on the agenda.
Poorly spelt, grammatically incorrect list, Sean.
Yeah, it was
quickly written up through the week. We've added notes.
Throughout the week.
Well, there's just one final thing to say, and that's thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week.
We will be back next week with more. After next week, hopefully we should have the manifestos come out. So the manifesto special.
Fingers crossed we have a manifesto special coming up.
Hopefully we'll be able to announce more about that next time.
Yes. Follow us on X, Criff and Sean. You can catch us on Twitch as well, Criff and Sean. But for now, it's bye from me.
And from me.
We'll see you next week. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.